I've got a title here, Don't Have a Measuring Stick for Other People. Don't have a measuring stick for other people. And I will explain what I mean by this tonight, but I'd like us to look first at the book of Romans, Romans chapter 2. And I want to look at verses 17 to 24. Romans chapter 2, and we're going to look at verses 17 through to 24. And here in the Apostle's teaching, he reveals how Jews can be as guilty as Gentiles with regard to sin of the tongue and judging. And we take this up from verse 17, in which he says here, indeed, you are called a Jew and rest on the law and make your boast in God and know his will and approve the things that are excellent, being instructed out of the law. So he's really, in a sense, speaking to the Jews here, because the Apostle Paul's burden was to the Jew first. And so he's appealing to the law, he's appealing to their tradition, he's appealing to their background, which of course he could do being a Jew himself. And he goes on, and are confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, which of course is what they thought they were, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, having the form of knowledge and truth in the law. You therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? You who say, do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? And you who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who make your boast in the law, do you dishonor God through breaking the law? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. And so it goes on. And so the Gentiles criticized those who said they were of the law, those who belonged to the seed of Abraham. They were criticized by Gentiles. But Paul uses this to take it further. We are Jews by faith. We are of the seed of Abraham. There's neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, Whatever, we are all one in spirit. However, if we sin with the tongue and we judge, we place ourselves not only in sin, but also under the law that condemns. This is what sin does. And I'm calling this teaching tonight, don't have a measuring stick for other people. We need to stop having a measuring stick for others, because we don't know all the facts. We don't know what God is saying, what he's doing with that person, and we don't see very often both sides of the arguments. Therefore, we are not to judge. We are not to take sides. We are a people who must remain open, and above all, be in prayer and in intercession. But we are not allowed, as believers, to start measuring people or judging people on what we think or whatever it will be. Why? Because as God is so emphasizing, we know nothing unless it is revealed. And God doesn't want our fleshly discernments or prejudices or whatever they would be trying to decide or judge anything or any situation. Jesus never judged in that way. Jesus came in which to judge the law and the demands of the law, to meet the requirements as that sin offering. And that is why he came with a message of grace and mercy and forgiveness. But it's conditional. As everything, it is free, but it is not cheap. And so we mustn't use this sort of spiritual measuring stick, which at times we have done. Let's go to Matthew, of which Jesus spoke about criticizing and judging. And we all, of course, know this very well. But in Matthew 7, chapter 7, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1, judge not that you be not judged. So I'm still dealing with this measuring stick that we're not to use for other people. Now here, Jesus' instructions on this is simple. He says, don't judge that you be not judged. And it's quite simple, but it's something that we all fall guilty to. But he simply says here, don't do it. Christians, sadly, are often the most critical and is one of the everyday activities that's going on in the world. And because it goes on in the world, sadly, it can go on in the house of God. And the reason being is we have brought it over with us from the world. How have we brought this over with us? You say, well, I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Well, indeed we are. Amen. But God has to deliver us. He has to show us, don't judge. Don't argue. Don't try and justify whatever it would be. He simply says, don't do it. And he's showing why we do this and why it is so prevalent in the house of God. Christians are the worst for criticizing, for shooting one another down with the tongue, with their prejudice or judgmental statements or whatever that goes on. Why is it that this is such a problem? We've had it in the assembly as well, so none of us are exempt. Well, it's an everyday activity. It's in the world. That is what the world does. They judge, they criticize one another. You've only got your newspaper and you'll see it's full of criticism. It's full of people judging a situation or whatever it would be. And many times, before the facts or the evidence have ever been disclosed, they've already formed an opinion. God will never, ever let us form an opinion. Because the moment we do, we cannot pray any longer. In fact, we can't not only pray, but we are not in contact with God. Therefore, our prayers cannot be inspired and led by the Holy Spirit. They're simply soulish and go no higher than the ceiling, which sadly goes on, I'm afraid, in a lot of churches. But why is this a problem? Well, I've already said that it's a problem that's in the world. It's a problem in our families. We all know in our families how they criticize, how they judge, how they have opinions and so forth. And this half the time causes so much strife that goes on in our families. We were a part of it. We were involved with it. Until the Lord has come into our lives and said, right, things are changing now. Goes on in marriage between the wife and the husband and the husband and the wife. We see it go on there, judging, criticizing, going on, all of which we've experienced. Or it goes on at my workplace where I work. Every day you go in and there's always something new to hear. Or somebody said this, or did you hear about that, or what do you think about this, or the boss has done this, and so on. It just continually goes on, and we are bombarded with this all the time, where you make a decision, or you have to say something, or you have to form an opinion, you see. And this is actually what God is working in getting us delivered from. It goes on in sport, it even go on with your hobbies and so forth and everything. It's all part of the world. Now, for the Christian, when we fall in this trap, it weakens us spiritually. It not only weakens us spiritually, but it blocks our relationship with Almighty God. And the reason that it blocks our relationship, this is one of the biggest problems, I believe, in the house of God. And it has gone on in the assembly, and it may still be going on. And this is why I said this evening, and I know the enemy doesn't like this teaching, because he's made it very clear, but this is going to be a big deliverance. I do believe there's going to be big breakthroughs if we've listened to this. Not with our heads only, but with our hearts. The reason that this spiritually blocks, it blocks our relationship with God, because what is attached to this often is negative. Even lies can be attached to it. It can throw confusion in the midst. It can work strife. And all those other things, and the book of James speaks of it as devilish and demonic. They are demons that are attached to a judgmental spirit. That is why Jesus says in Matthew 7, verse 1, don't. That is the key word. Just don't do it. Why? Because it creates snares. It will hinder relationships. It will hinder unity, oneness. And it will hinder your prayers and intercessions and your relationship with God. You see, we have problems when we put our ears to this sort of thing. And the enemy has a way of sensationalizing gossip, news. The papers do it. Politics do it. They spin everything. And everything's blown out of proportion. The enemy is a master at doing that. Why do you think he does that? Because it's a way of getting our attention. It's a way of sensationalizing it. It's a way of presenting it so that you will form an opinion. You will judge it. Because he knows by you doing that, you are going to heap judgment on yourself, which we're going to look at later. Can we see now how the enemy tries to do it? And sadly, I've even heard Christians who embellish a thing, who sensationalize on it, and it's all so that others can put their ears to it and then gossip and talk and spread it around and so forth. And before you know where you are, it's causing problems. It causes disunity. We have seen God remove some saints from this church who did this sort of thing. And we don't mention names, but we know when we look back how some were so used of the enemy to gossip, to judge and criticize. And it caused nothing but hindrances and problems. So it's a fearful thing, this is. And we have to, all of us, be on our guards. What we put our ears to. You see, the Holy Spirit is the only one who can criticize, and he alone does it without hurting or wounding anyone. He may highlight. Yes, he may chastise. He does all of those things which he says he does, but he will always do it in such a way where he will not hurt, he will not wound or crush the spirit of that person. It is always in the spirit and heart to bring a person to repentance, to bowed knees, to a confession, to bring it out before him so the blood of Jesus can cleanse and heal and deliver. But we have not always been in that same heart and spirit. And that's where then the enemy can get in. And he does. And the reason that we're not always like that is because we've got this sort of spiritual measuring stick for other people. And we are measuring them. We are measuring them what they should be. And how they should live, and how they should conduct themselves, and so on. Of course, we're all to adhere to a standard, but at the end of the day, we are what we are by the grace of God. Mm-hmm. And if we see the love of Christ shining through that brother, that sister, that is simply God's working in that brother and sister, and what he is doing. And we should never compare another brother or sister to what God is doing with that person, that sister or that brother. The work that he's doing is different with all of us, but at the end, it will all accumulate to unity and oneness. How can I expect God to work in my sister when her life has been what it's been, and my life has been different? Her journey and what she's going through is different to mine, but the finished result will be the same. And who am I to judge that? That is the question. We must not do it, because we all come out of different situations, you see? And we don't see the whole picture. We don't see fully what God is doing. We don't know what they're doing before God or how they're battling before God. It's very easy to judge and say, well, the problem is they're just not confessing. The problem is they don't want to bow the knee before God. But how do we know? Maybe God's giving time for that. Now, I'm not saying that God doesn't reveal, problems and situations. But I'll tell you something, when God does reveal a problem in the house of God, he's going to do it through the saints. He ain't going to have just one person who's criticizing and judging that person. If there is a problem, it is done through the unity and oneness. It is done in the right way and in the right channels. That's how you know, and it's the Holy Spirit. It is not one person who's judging somebody else and thinking, well, the church should be believing what I'm thinking, what I'm saying, and discerning. That's not how it works. We've had people in the past, and they've come up to me, do you know that this such and such is going on with this brother? What are you going to do about it? And I turned around and said, well, what are you doing about it? Well, I'm coming to you, telling you, that's why. I said, well, then the first thing we'll do, I said, we'll pray about it. I have prayed about it. I said, well, I haven't. So I'll go before the Lord, and I will seek God. And if what you are saying is right, then we bring it before the church. We pray about it. And we have every endeavor is to help, support, go the extra mile for that brother you are saying about, that he may come to repentance. And of course, if they're of the right spirit, they'll say amen to that. But if they're critical, they're judging, they will be offended by those remarks. And then they will try to then say, the pastor or the elder, whoever it is, isn't doing their job as they should be. And so they're creating them disunity. They are judging in that situation instead of getting on their knees and praying and interceding. And the thing is, of course, it doesn't take long to find out that actually they don't have much of a prayer life. They're not really praying. They don't really have that heart to see that brother restored, delivered, and so on. They haven't, in other words, the heart of Jesus. And we've had that go on, brothers and sisters. I can tell you that from experience being pastor. But praise God, you know, when you're listening to the Lord, and yes, you pray about all these things, you then look to the Lord, and God will lead and guide, and so on. You see, they were using that measuring stick. And it wasn't measuring up to what I want, to what I think it is, or what I think it should be, and so on. Who are we? And what arrogance! We don't know anything unless God reveals to us, and yet they have the arrogance and the audacity at times to do it. Some things, brothers and sisters, you don't know what's gone on in this assembly over the years, because I've kept it from you. But I can tell you some are no longer here. God has removed them because it's fearful. Never, let's pray that we never ever ourselves fall into such a trap. But you see, the problem is that when one becomes critical and you start judging, you start to change in character. And I'll tell you what happens to you. You start to become harsh. You start to become vindictive and argumentative because people or the pastor is not agreeing with you. You become argumentative, and then there's like a cruelness that starts to come about the person. And you see this decline, you see this, sadly, this falling away in the character of a person who's calling themselves a Christian, who say they love the Lord Jesus Christ. But in effect, their judgmentalism has created them to be critical. They start to become harsh, vindictive, and there starts to come a cruel streak. They want to see them judged. They want to see God chastening them. They want to see blood, in other words. And there's like a satisfaction. I knew that was going to happen to them. I warned it would happen. And so it's like a smugness there and saying, oh, Father, Lord, have mercy. There go I, if it not for the grace of God. You know, and we've seen it, haven't we? We've seen it, sadly. You see, it deceives you into thinking you are superior. You're spiritual. You're right with God. And that was the scribes, Pharisees, all of them, the religious people. They were hindered by those demons. They thought they were superior. They thought they had the discernment. They used their measuring stick and knew how to use it. And yet God said to them, Jesus said, you're blind leaders of the blind. That's not what I have come for. That is not the good news of the gospel. It is mercy and compassion. A church endeavors in every way to bring about, to believe for a deliverance, for a confession, for a bowing of the knee, or for a restoration of that brother or sister back in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That should always be the heart and the motive. Always. But I believe, you know, as believers and overcomers, we have to work at this, as this can affect all. This is something that times we have to cultivate. That's why we're talking about this tonight. It's something we, all of us, have to be on our guard. And if we hear our mouth saying things or judging, then deal with it quickly and say, Father, forgive me, Lord. I'm sorry. Because, you know, if we go on with this and we start judging and criticizing, it's as good as saying before God, Lord, judge me on the things that I have judged. That's really what you're saying. And that's awesome. That is awesome. We have to be on our guard of any thoughts that come or causes you to think of yourself as superior to others. And this can go on. It can come over in a most subtle way. Or when I walk close with the Lord and I have a relationship with God and, you know, I don't do the things that you do. They wouldn't say it like that, but there's this superiority that comes over. Have you ever felt sometimes with some believers who confess Christ, you feel inadequate, you feel inferior, you feel as though you're being crushed, you're being pushed down? Have you ever experienced that? I have. And I just think, oh Lord, I don't think there's any hope for me. That's not how the Holy Spirit works, brothers and sisters. You need to pray for people who make you feel like that. Not to criticize them, but that God is trying to tell you something. Get on your knees and supplicate for that person. Because that's what they're doing to my sheep. They're superior. They think they're above, a cut above everyone else. And there are those that can do that. What is the problem? They are people who are judging. You know, as Jesus said, if you see the speck in your brother or sister's eye, it means I have a plank in my own. And let's take out what Jesus was saying here in verses 3 through to 5 of Matthew 7. Verses 3 through to 5 of Matthew 7. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Now, isn't it interesting? He uses the word speck. He doesn't say, why do you see the blank, the piece of wood or something enormous or a boulder in your brother's eye. He doesn't use any of those terms. He doesn't use the term like that. He says a speck. So it's something very subtle. It's something very, you know, it's like a little seed, just whoop, in it goes, a little poison. It's just negative. It outwardly appears not very big, but God sees it, and he says, your comment is actually revealing that you have a boulder in your eyes. He says, you've got a plank that's in your own eyes. That little subtle thing that you are finding, you're judging on. And then he goes on, or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye and look at the plank that's in your own eyes? Now, that sort of person who says, well, I've seen this speck, but I'm going to remove it. I can remove it because I'm good. I walk close with the Lord. I have a good relationship with God. He has given me the authority. I have the anointing. And I'm going to remove that speck from your eyes. Can you hear now? This is why Jesus doesn't like it. We've seen this, and it goes on, and it can go on in the house of God. It's that superior attitude. It's that pharisaical attitude. It's pride. And they're people who judge. And they're often cruel. And they're vindictive. And it causes divisions. But he goes on. Hypocrite. First, remove the plank from your own eyes. And then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eyes. So actually, the speck may well be there, but he says, you're a hypocrite because you need to get rid of that plank first. Let's deal with that first before you consider your brother or your sister. And that's why judgment begins first in the house of God. And that's why God will deal with us first. And that's why we take up our cross daily and we follow the Lord. It is death to the self-life. It's death to that plank that is in our own eyes and so on, which it will deal with. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, and so on. So we're to be on our guard with all of this. Every wrong thing I see in someone else, God finds in me. Everything that I am seeing wrong, and I'm in a wrong spirit, and I'm critical, I'm judging, God sees in me. So next time, if we fall victim to this, just say to yourself, Father, forgive me, because you saw exactly the same in me, and I'm sorry. Forgive me. Cleanse me by your precious blood. Because that is what it is, you see. Every time I judge, I condemn myself. So we stop having a measuring stick for others. Because otherwise, if you hold on to that measuring stick, I'm going to tell you something, you'll be absolutely disappointed. And we have all done it. We've all expected our loved ones, even the closest to us, to measure up to what I want, what I think should be, or what they should be, or whatever it is, how I see it. And when they don't, we become despondent. Or we reject them, or we judge them, or we do all sorts of things. We've all done it, brothers and sisters. There's not one of us that is not guilty before God in this. I said tonight this will be a deliverance if we really take this into our hearts. Because we're going to really start to see things move in our assembly. I am convinced that a lot of prayers have been hindered. There's healings hindered because we are still judging. We are still regarding a view or my opinion or whatever it is. And it makes it even worse when we try to spiritualize it or we say, the Lord has shown me this. Make sure you know the Lord has shown you this. And if the Lord shows us, then there's going to be grace there. There's going to be deliverance there. And there's going to be healing there. And there is going to be a witness. And if it's in prayer, we then can all release faith and pray and intercede. And that God's healing hand will work in that whole situation. We need to be on our guards before we open our mouths. We really, really do. But I also believe, as I bring this to its conclusion, why I'm bringing these things up tonight, I believe it's also vital, this, what I'm talking about, because it's dealing about our confession. If I am judging, or I'm using that measuring stick, then my confession is not lining up with God's will in that situation or for that person or whatever it would be. And we know our confession can condemn. Our confession reveals whether we are believing God, we are meeting the standard, or it's not. Our confession shows whether there's that faith, that mustard seed of faith, now, today, this moment, or not. And we've very often heard wrong confessions coming out of us. And sometimes those confessions are affected because I'm using that measuring stick. I have judged. I'm critical. I'm not allowing the Holy Spirit to lead and guide in that situation, you see? Many times we see when Jesus, in his ministry, they would bring people before him or people would need healing. Sometimes the disciples became critical. Do you know who that is you're talking to? Or do you know who that is that wants prayer and so on? But Jesus never, ever responded. He thought, okay, they're judging. They're judging by the law. That person's a prostitute, or that is a Samaritan. Healing is the children's bread and so forth. He wouldn't get involved in that. He wouldn't criticize. He wouldn't just say, you watch what God's going to do. That'll speak to you. And he would be able to discern from what God was doing, those who are called by God and those who are not. Because those who were called by God, okay, yeah, they were judging, but they confessed and admitted, I've got it wrong. Forgive me, Lord. But there will be others in their judgment who will be offended and will walk away. There's the difference, you see. We've all fallen victim to it. As I said at the beginning, it's what we've come out from. It's all we knew. It's all what you ever heard your mother or your father. You constantly heard it day in, day out, judging things, judging someone, judging a husband or judging the wife and so forth. We were bombarded with it. And we had to make sure we were on their side in case there'll be an argument and so forth. You thought, well, I better not stand and say no to my mother, because if I say no to my mother, I'm really in for it. It's better just to agree with her to keep the peace. Heard it before? Of course we have. We've all come out of it. We've all come out of it. You see, God won't let us do that, you see. He's getting us to harmonize with his heart, with his thinking, his thoughts, what he's saying. And so on. And that's where the peace is. And that's where the healing is. That's where the true unity is. And so forth. You see? Many times, you know, in my position as pastor, you have situations brought to you or whatever it is, and very often sometimes you find that pressure is there. They want you to agree with them. But anybody who's truly coming or wants to share whatever it is, they won't put that pressure that they want you to agree with them. And I will always say, I will hear and I will go before the Lord, but I'm going to tell you exactly now, I desire and choose to remain right in the middle of this, and I'm not taking any sides. I dare not. I must not. Because the moment you do that, you lose your discernment. You no longer can hear from God, and so forth. And I know it doesn't always go down well, but that is how it is, you see. And so we need to be on our guards with this. This is something that we need to work on. It's something we're facing every day, and we need to call upon God's grace and help. There are many times I call on God, Lord, please help me. Help me not to criticize. Help me not to judge. Help me not to get this wrong, and so forth. It's the way it is, because it's the way the world is. And it's what we're being brought out from. But I believe that this is a big hindrance in the house of God. And we have to call on God's help to change us. And if we've even heard tonight, and yes, it's probably got all our names and addresses on, certainly had mine. And that's the reason why we're addressing this. But there's always hope. There's always hope when God highlights, when he reveals a thing, and he shows maybe why these are problems, and we're not maybe seeing what we should be seeing, and so forth. And it could be that I've just got this measuring stick that I'm not fully aware of. But instead of using it on myself, I'm using it on other people. And so we need to be careful. And we need to watch our confession. What we say, what we're saying about a brother or a sister. It is so easy to say things about them, and you could be hindering their healing. You could be hindering their deliverance. You could be hindering their walk with God. You at that point allowing the powers of darkness in to the fellowship, into the unity and oneness that's hindering what God is wanting to do. And we just have to be on our guard. And again, as I finish with this, only God can do this. This is impossible in the natural. Because of the world we live in, we are constantly bombarded with criticism and judgment and all those things that go on. So God is going to put that hedge of protection. He's going to help us. He's going to bring us through in this. Like all of this whole walk, it's a miracle. How God's going to do these things, I don't know, but I know he will. Because he's God, and he never makes a mistake. And he won't make a mistake in this. And I desire him to do it. And therefore he's come as my teacher, and he's going to make me sensitive to what comes out of my mouth. And if I do get it wrong, my heart's desire is to confess and get it under the blood of Jesus as quick as possible. And he will. He will. So then the devil cannot use it. Amen. Amen for that. Hallelujah. Father, tonight again, thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for the deliverance over this message. Lord, keep us in your mercy and grace from judging, criticizing our opinions. Lord, we know nothing unless it's revealed to us. And Lord, let us always have the heart of Jesus to seek peace, reconciliation, healing, to think those good, wholesome thoughts to our brothers and sisters, to not in any way harbour unforgiveness, resentment or judgmentalism or whatever it will be, because Lord, it can change us. It can change our confession. And when our confession changes, that means we're not believing as we should be, because we know that whatever's in our heart will speak. Lord, we desire those pure hearts before you, hearts that are teachable, hearts that are ever looking, waiting on you for change. Because we want to be like Jesus. So Lord, thank you tonight. Thank you for our meeting. Thank you for my brothers and sisters and whoever, Lord, have come into the room tonight. I pray that you bless, preserve and keep them and the blood of Jesus over them until we come together in Jesus' name.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen and amen.
Just so.